Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Denise Moore.
Let's start with the word, shall we? The first reading is from Matthew 28. I sound like an Anglican, don't I? Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus told them, "All heavenly and earthly authority has been given to me. So now I tell you to go and make disciples in every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey all that I have taught and commanded you. And be assured of this, I am always present with you, even to the end of this age."
Amen.
Over the past couple of weeks, Pastor Paul's been affirming that we are enough.
Yeah.
You are enough.
Yeah.
But what have you done? And what are you doing with what's been entrusted to you? Because you see, you not only have a purpose, but you also have a unique set of skills, talents,
yeah,
experiences,
right,
and God made you to fit into his plan.
Right.
It's yours. It's yours to discover, develop, and bring greater glory to God.
Praise God.
You see, we've been given this great commission. This is our mission.
Yeah.
And the gifts God gives us are to enable that to happen. And that's through our church going out in love in the world. Now, Jesus often taught in parables, so I'm going to start by telling you a story. And there was a man in Scarborough, and he had three daughters. And he also had a really successful business, and he had a successful home life and a very flashy car. And just for you, Jonathan, it was a Ferrari. And that man had to go away for a few years to go abroad and do some other things. So he entrusted his daughters. So the first daughter was given the business to look after. And she did really, really well. She made it so much so that the profits were good and they were able to employ loads and loads and loads of other people. The business really expanded. So that was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now the second daughter, she was entrusted with the house. Now, the house had got lots of bedrooms, so she thought a bit about it, and she thought, well, actually, if I rent that out, I can get some more money in, and we can use that money, and I can make extensions, and actually, she bought an annex, and she was able to bring lots of people in that were needy. So she built it into a shelter. The third daughter, she was the one entrusted with the Ferrari. But the Ferrari stayed in the garage because she was afraid. She was afraid to take it out in the rain in case the paint got spoiled. She was afraid to take it out in case something mechanical went wrong. And she was afraid to take it out in case she had an accident. So the car just sat there in the garage. Is the story familiar? When the father came back, he was obviously overjoyed with both his business and his house. But when he saw his car in the garage, that actually was a bit seized up and didn't really go very well anymore, and the tyres were flat. He was disappointed, but he was disappointed because his daughter didn't reach her potential. She didn't reach the potential that she was entrusted with. And that was what upset him. Pastor Paul entitled his series, It's Beyond Me, and when he asked me to speak today, I actually said yes straight away, because that's obedience, that's what you do, yeah? But my second thought was, I can't do this, yeah? And my third thought was, I haven't got the self-confidence to do this. And I was right, because I haven't got the confidence. And actually, you have to be really careful, because the enemy tries to come in and he tries to steal and destroy. Okay? And what he tries to tell you is that you're not good enough. But what you do need to be careful is that very word, I, and self-confidence, self-esteem, self-anything means that you're acting out of the flesh. And what you need to be doing is working out the spirit. And we can do that because we have the Bible, and we have words in the Bible that could come against that. So, I'll tell you more about that later. Pastor Paul entitled the series, "It's Beyond Me," I think, actually, because there's a lot of things that are beyond us all. But God does have a purpose in everything that he says and does, and there's always an outworking. And why did Jesus choose me? Well, because he did. He chose me because he had a purpose for me, and there's a call on every life to persevere in this little word that's called faith. We can't do things on our own strength. Well, we can. We can do it, but it doesn't have any power behind it. Okay? We're taught that we have to trust, and we also have to love. Now, faith isn't something that you have. It's not a product. It's something that you act out. It's something that you speak. And you actually live faith. And it's actually a relationship. It's a relationship in Jesus. So, how do we step forward in faith? Well, in Psalm 31:24, it says, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." So I've got some steps for you. So if you're writing them down, here you go. Step one, we need to be strong. That's what it says. Be strong and take heart. Be strong, be courageous, and that's a spiritual value. You see, when your hope and your faith is in the Lord, then you've got the courage to move forward. But of course, there's sometimes when actually you need to stand still and you need to listen and you need to trust what God is saying. Number two, you need to be yourself in Christ Jesus. Now, you see, when you choose to let Jesus live in you and you live in him, it doesn't mean that you lose your personality. You are still you. You are the person that he formed within the womb. He knows every hair on your head. You're precious to him. It doesn't mean that you're a zombie when you say yes to Jesus. You do have different values. You have a different way of seeing things. There'll be things that happen in the flesh, in the real world out there, that you suddenly think, hey, that's not quite right. And it goes, an alarm bell dings. Okay? And that's a good thing to happen.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you don't have your own personality, because that's what God has given you. Number three, you need to be empowered to do what God is leading you to do. And when you're empowered, that means that you don't have to be fearful of the opinions of or the reactions of others. See, it's very easy for me to stand here today and say, well, actually, I was really afraid because I don't know what they're going to think about how I present this today. Are they going to be critical? Well, actually, you come against that because you have to step out in faith. Yeah. Step four, you need to let your faith inspire you to think big and believe God to do everything possible for you. It does say that in Scripture, that he can do everything, everything for you. Step five. Sometimes we need to step out of our comfort zone. So I need a bit of help, Nathan. My assistant. There was a man who planted a young tree. It was a sapling, and he planted it in his garden. But when the wind blew, it fell over completely to the left. So the man called out the tree surgeon. And when he came, he put a rope around the sapling and he started to pull it up until it stood tall again. But he didn't stop there. He carried on pulling. And he pulled until the sapling was completely over to the right. And he left it there for a few months. Thank you very much, Nathan. I'll pay you after. The tree had to be stretched beyond itself so that, again, once it got strong, it could then get back to its proper place. And sometimes we need to be stretched and we need to step out of our comfort zone. Step six. You also need to know that you're accepted. You are accepted. Do you feel accepted?
Yes.
Good. Because if not, you have to know what lie you're believing, and then you have to look and see what the biblical truth is. But we can only act in faith and power if you know who you are. So now I'm turning to 1 Peter 2, verse 5. So now you are to be living stones, yourselves, that God can build into a spiritual dwelling place for himself. You have become a holy priesthood because of all you offer to God through your faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ, for that is what is written in Scripture. Now, we don't need to strive and aspire to what we've already been given. And Pastor Paul's already mentioned before now that we've been given the gift. We just need to unwrap it. But we are totally acceptable and pleasing. And this is who you are. He made you perfect. You're his masterpiece. You're part of the holy priesthood. So the final step is step seven. Okay. You need to know that you are a transforming power of the nation. There's no way to be ashamed of who I am, of who God's created me to be, because this is the beauty. This is the confidence that I have in Jesus. This is knowing that I'm rooted in a good place. But you need to know who you are, and you need to go out and be transformed. Now, transformation's not about us now, because it's already happened. It's about going forward. And I've got another story for you, and it's about Cinderella, because have you ever wondered why the fairy godmother didn't just wave her magic wand and make Cinderella into a princess? She didn't, did she? But she could have done. But she used transformation. She turned the pumpkin into a coach, and she turned the mice into men. So why am I telling you this? It's because we're not the finished article, okay? God's still shaping us and he's molding us, and that's a good thing to do because we know that we're not the perfect ending, okay? He's continually going to be there with us on whatever journey we have to take. But we are here to make a difference. We need to carry the kingdom out of the doors. We can't stay comfortable. You see, it's great being here on a Sunday morning, in a Sunday morning session, but actually the Bible requires action. We need to go out. We need to be transforming the world. We need to be going out and, yeah, doing what we've been told to do, and that's the Great Commission. So you are the best version of you, but in transformation, it's a bit like a journey, and that has to be connected. So you do need your friends around you. You do need the church around you. You need to do that because you need to be a beacon of light when you go out. I know I keep talking about Pastor Paul's teaching just lately, but there's been such a lot, and there's been such a lot to unpack, hasn't there? But he's been teaching also on Nehemiah, and one of the things that really came out to me when he was talking about in chapter 3, it was about the fact that we can't restore a whole world by being individuals.
That's good.
Chapter 3 has a whole list of names, and it has a list of all the jobs. There were women with shovels, and I think the priests were guarding the tithes and things like that. Everybody had a role, but they were all different. There were perfumers. There were just everybody got together because they needed to rebuild that wall. They needed to rebuild that community. And people responded, okay? They moved in and they helped, and they helped to turn that around. So church is the entity for what God does in the community. Yeah? It's a church emotion. It has to move. We don't just attend church. We need to be thinking as part of a body that we need to act, and we need to let God out, don't we? We can be in this Christian bubble. We need to let God out. Okay. So I just want to give you a couple of examples because I'm a helper with community angels. Now there's street angels and there's youth angels. So Brian and Dan will have loads of examples of their own as well. And of course, there's lots of people who go out on mission. Dr. Nigel, Kate's been out, David goes out. So there's lots of people here that have probably got their own experiences out and doing things in the real world outside. But one of them I wanted to share with you was a man that his brother had died, and he didn't have any other family, and he didn't have any money. And that's how community angels got involved, because they were able to help him to fill the necessary forms in order to do, to get the grant and that kind of thing. Now, this man, you would have thought on the outside, didn't have any connection with God at all. You wouldn't have thought that that he really understood who Jesus was. But when Adrian talked to him, because he actually led the funeral for his brother, he got to talk to him, and they found out that they actually went to Sunday school as boys together. And that just opened up just a new conversation, a new way of actually that man coping with that bereavement. It never fails to astound me, and it shouldn't really, but how God can take just a small situation and be there.
Yeah,
he's there. He's in everything.
Yeah.
There's nowhere that he's not, is there? There's nowhere that he's not. Another example was Jimmy. There was a gentleman who needed a new bed. So, of course, we contacted Jimmy to get the mattress. And, of course, if you all know Jimmy, he's the evangelist of the moment. And, of course, the first words he said to the man were, "Do you have a faith?" And of course the man opened up, and again it's just rekindling something, isn't it? So these are positive examples of seeing how the Lord moves. And of course there are many others, but it did leave me thinking, well, how can God break in there? How can he break into that situation, into that circumstance? Because actually there are some things that you think, well, actually, How can you do that, Lord? How can you do it? But earlier I said that every believer has to persevere in faith, and we're called to trust. And it's interesting that when Kate prayed today, one of my favourite passages is from the Old Testament in Lamentations. It's Lamentations 3, 22 to 33. And it says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great Lord is your faithfulness." The Bible says that his great love towards us is new every morning. He's never going to run out of mercy. His compassion to us is new every day. You see, God himself is faithful. And I'm telling you this because the foundation for life of faith is knowing that God is faithful.
Come on, that's good.
And it's not even down to your ability to believe. Because you might be here today and you might have a big question mark over who God is. But that won't change God, because he is who his word says he is.
Amen.
He's unchanging, unending, permanent and enduring, and his love for you is 100%. His love for you will never run out. And because of his great love for you, he will show his faithfulness. So what's our part? Because if God is faithful, even if we don't believe in him, how do we connect with his faithfulness? So I've got another scripture for you. And this one's Romans 1. And it's verses 16 to 17. I could never be ashamed of believing and proclaiming the gospel. I know that it's God's powerful way of making salvation available to everyone who believes in Jesus. First the Jews, to whom he came as man, then also for people of other nations. All who believe, the good news of Jesus are saved because they are placed in right relationship with God, regardless of who they are or what they have done in the past. What a promise is that? Okay, no matter what you've done in the past, all you have to do is that little word, believe. So what is the good news? Well, the good news is that Jesus died for us on the cross. And he took my fears. He took everything on the cross. He took all of our sins. And he died because he loved us so much that he wanted to rebuild that relationship that we'd lost with our Father. And he rose again. He rose again, and he proved that there was no power, no problem is too great for our God. Jesus said on the cross, "It's finished. I've done everything for you." That's why Paul says that the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for everyone who believes. Don't lose out on the power. Don't go out of here today and lose out on the power. You see, to believe means to trust God and to act on his word. So it means that I trust what God's saying, I'm acting like it's true, and I'm going to step out in faith. Okay? Now, that for me was like the fear that I mentioned earlier. I had to trust God, and I had to stand on his word, okay, in order to stand here and talk to you today. So I use Timothy, 2 Timothy 1. For God did not give me a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given me a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and of personal discipline. Now, I've had to stand here today and act as if that's true. Yeah? I've had to take that step of faith today. Praise God. We need to live out of faith. And when you believe in your heart that you've trusted Jesus and you say yes to him, then that's action. And when you do that and you confess, that's action. So you believe in your heart, express with your mouth, and unto salvation, the power of God to take you out of the darkness and bring you into the light. It means that you get to go to heaven. It means that you get to live in eternal life with him. And belief's not just an acceptance of truth. It's actually a doing word. So let's do some doing. Can you stand, please? If you're here today and you know that you've not trusted God to help you do something that's beyond you, or you've not trusted God first in your circumstances, or you've believed that lie that you're not enough, that you're not accepted, then just take a few minutes to connect with him now. Say that you're sorry for your unbelief. Praise you, Lord. And if you're here today and you want that opportunity to say yes to Jesus, then please do come to the front, because we would love to pray with you. So praise the Lord. Now go out as lions. Go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To live and work to his praise and his glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Whoa, thank you, Denise. Thank you. Take a seat. Praise God. And you see how many people are blessed because one person stepped out in faith. One person said, I'm going to believe God's word and what he says about me, and not going to believe my fears or my own mind. As Paul's been preaching recently, you know, most of the battles go on up here. You know, the gates of hell are in here. And it's what we actually grab hold of, and what we feed grows. So even though, as Denise said, you know, she said, yes, of course I will, when she was first asked. And then it all went, ah, no, what did you do that for? That was stupid. Thoughts all came. I'm sure they did, because that's what would happen to me. And then, yeah, the devil gets in there too. You know, but because she said no, I haven't got a spirit of fear. I'm going to go and I can speak. You know, God's put something on every one of us. We've all got a piece of God. I believe in the jigsaw of God. We've all got our individual little piece of God. And when we come together like this, we all bring them and we make the jigsaw. And we see God's nature and we see God's character because of who he is for us individually. Because who he is for me isn't how he is for you. And we're all going through different things. And he changes for me, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. Who God is to me today isn't who God was for me 3 months ago. Because I've gone through stuff this last 3 months and he had to become something different. I had to learn more about him so I could hold on to him, so I could get through the stuff I was going through. And I appreciate we all do that. So when we all bring our piece of God, we make that jigsaw, we see his character, we see his nature corporately, it's just beautiful. It's what I love. I love the individual pieces of God that we've all got. I think at the beginning when it said God spoke, you know, and the world was created, I see it that, like, when he spoke, that those words went out into eternity and kind of shattered, and they all went into each one of us. Everybody that's ever lived has had a piece of God almost. And so then we bring all those pieces together. It's just beautiful. So thank you, Denise, for being brave. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for the gold nuggets that you gave to each one of us. And yeah, those of you who took those points down like I did, you know, think of them this week. Think, how is my life going to be different this week? How am I going to appropriate what Denise said? Or even if you didn't take the notes, how am I going to appropriate what Denise actually did by being willing to stand up and speak and be vulnerable and be open in front? Because it's not easy standing up here. I mean, you all look lovely and all that, but it. And some people love it, and other people find it terrifying. And I think both me and Denise are more on the terrifying side than the love it side. But yeah, what can I learn? How can my life be different this week? How can I treat my neighbours differently? How can I treat my kids differently? How can I treat my family differently? What am I going to do differently in the light of what, not only has Denise shared, but the action that she did today? Okay, so let's go out, like she said, let's be roaring lions, let's have a great week, be blessed, enjoy coffee, and yeah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.